some NFL now with a Hall of Fame voter. Of course, he works at the Talk of Fame Network, also at the Sports Illustrated. Clark Judge joins us once again. And Clark, it's rare to start the segment about the team that's 0-9, but my goodness, the New York Jets just find new ways to lose games. Their clock management in the last 2 minutes of that game to not even get it to overtime was amazing to me. Their whole fourth quarter was just awful. And why do you think Adam Gase still has a job this season with the Jets?
Because I think they look at the roster and say, Vince Lombardi couldn't do much better. Maybe he'd win a couple games here, but couldn't do much better. And let's face it, if we're going to stink, we might as well stink worse than everyone else. So we got a shot at Trevor Lawrence. They would have the first draft pick. He would be the first draft pick. Now, whether he wants to play for the Jets or not is another matter. But I think at this point, they look at it and say, what's the use? I mean, they don't have great players. Darnold didn't play again last night. Flacco actually looked pretty good, but he didn't play again. They pushed what should be a better team to the mat and what should be a better coach to the mat. And they actually look like they had a pulse for the first time in weeks. So I just think they look at it and say, "There's what are we gaining by it? We might as well just stink, all right? And that's what we do. We might as well stink worse than everyone else because we're going to get the first draft pick.
I keep hearing, you know, Lawrence might not go there. Now, was Eli Manning the last one who didn't want to report?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
right.
And then John
Eli
Elway.
Yeah, I covered the John Elway situation. I was in Baltimore, and he put a gun to their head, and they said, fine, we're drafting you. And they did. They drafted him. They had him for a week. And then we know what happened. Robert Irsay and Edgar Kaiser got together, and they worked out a deal. And it was a great one for one team, and it wasn't Baltimore. It was Denver. They got a Hall of Fame quarterback. And, I mean, Baltimore got Chris Hinton, who was a terrific and Hall of Fame-worthy offensive lineman. But then they got a draft pick was Ron Saul, and then they got Mark Kermit, a backup quarterback. That's not what you want to get in return for a quarterback who was really a once in a lifetime, sort of. He was a generational quarterback. We knew it. Everyone knew what they were getting with John Elway. They're just going, there aren't many better ones out there. Now, it turns out there was one who was just as good, I think, or almost as good, and that's Dan Marino. We didn't know at the time, but I remember when they worked out Elway, and Ernie Corsi came back, and I said, what'd you think? Came back from Stanford. He goes, he can make all the throws Burt Jones can, and then the one Burt can't, which is that soft touch throw. He goes, he can make every throw. And so he said, I'm not going to my grave knowing that I traded away the next John Unitas. And so he drafted him, and then once it was out of the GM's hands, the owner could do what he wanted, he made the deal. So, it was Elway, and he was the Colts' property for, as I said, a week or so. And then it was Eli, and Eli had said before he's not going to San Diego. He wasn't going to go to San Diego. So they made the draft day deal then, really just when the Chargers chose him, the Giants had already said, okay, we'll take – who do you want us to take? They take Philip Rivers. That's the guy we want because – they had their eyes on him. They took Rivers, and they made the swap, and there were a couple other players thrown in there, a kicker who was very good. I think Sean Merriman was part of that deal. And that was more of a reasonable deal, but, yeah. Those are the last two that I can think of.
Yeah, like that was a really good trade, Dan. Like, you know, you look at – I know Eli Manning won two championships in New York, but, you know, and he had a solid career, but, you know, you can make arguments that Philip Rivers straight up, you know, never necessarily had as good of a team potentially around him. But I look at Trevor Lawrence, and, you know, the talk about not wanting to go to New York, is it just because they're a tire fire? Like, I assume, you know, Adam Gase won't be there next year, but would it matter? Like, I know they have a lot of replacements needed. It would take some time, just like Cincinnati now with Burrow and other places, you know, go back to Peyton Manning. It's rare, you know, to be a crap team, you get a top pick. The reason you get the top pick is because you're brutal. So it's not going to be
That's
a quick
right.
fix. So, like, Trevor Lawrence can say, I don't want to go to the Jets. But if I'm the Jets, I'm still drafting him because either I'm going to trade him or I'm just going to keep him because, like, it's not like if he goes to Jacksonville or any of these other bottom feeders that it magically they're going to be instant winners way more than the Jets.
You know, that's right. And I think that the situation in Jacksonville will be really roughly similar as the one to the Jets. It's not the head coach that's the situation or the issue here. It's not the head coach. It's the franchise, top to bottom. It's management. It's the head coach. It's ownership. And I think Trevor Lawrence could look reasonably at the Jets and say, they've been good for a long time. Why is that? Well, the ownership's not really good. They don't seem to really know what they're doing. They change GMs like we change socks. They change coaches all the time. Who's in charge there? And Joe Douglas is the guy who's in charge there now. Does he know what he's doing? And we're on a very short window right now. I mean, we don't really know. He's had one draft. It looks like he knows what he's doing, but they're stocked with players that wouldn't make some other rosters, and they're starting them. And they've had injuries, too. Everyone's had injuries. But you look at their draft picks over the years, and that's because they've had a revolving door of GMs. No one really knows what a Jet player is supposed to be. When you go to Baltimore, they would say, play like a Raven. Well, they know who those players are because Ozzie Newsome was the GM forever. Now, Eric DaCosta sat at his knee and learned from him. Now he's the GM. They know what they want there. Pittsburgh's the same way. Pittsburgh's had three head coaches in 50 years. They know what they're looking for. They know the kind of players they want because the scouts haven't changed all that much. The GM's the same. But when you have a revolving door like the Jets, you go, they don't really know what they're doing. And I think you can make the same argument in Jacksonville. Really know what they're doing. So when's the last time Jacksonville picked a quarterback of consequence? And you can't think of one. They've gone through numbers, and Bortles, and they had a kid from Missouri, Gabbert, and numbers of them were supposed to be the answer, and they weren't. And the Jets are the same way. They've done the same thing. I mean, Ken O'Brien, I guess you could make an argument for. Pennington was pretty good. He got them to the playoffs. And yet Sanchez, and they traded up to make Mark Sanchez a high draft pick. He did. I mean, in his defense, I mean, they got to the AFC Championship game. But in recent years, it's just been a disastrous situation. And it really looks like one that's a dysfunctional organization. And I think it looks that way because it is. So if you are going there, you might have the same feeling as Eli did with San Diego. He thought, and the Mannings felt, that was a dysfunctional organization. They were right. They were right. And they wanted to go to a place that was more stable. So they go to the Giants. And they were right. He goes to two Super Bowls, and they win them. So that may be what Trevor Lawrence is thinking. Or he could say on the flip side, listen, go to New York. What better area is there for me to bankroll myself? I can become a celebrity there. But that's the good and the bad of it, because I've lived in New York for a long time, and you're either great or you stink. You're either Broadway Joe or you're Broadway Schmo, and there's no in-between. So it's a tough place to survive, but if you're good and really good, they love you.
Clark Judge joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260, talking all things NFL. Clark, what do you make of the decision by Tack McKinley from the Falcons? He went public. He wasn't happy. Excuse me. He wasn't happy with them not trading him. He ultimately gets his release. But in giving his release, he loses a lot of money. A, where do you think he signs? B, what type of contract do you think he's going to get?
Yeah, I honestly can't answer those questions. I don't know where he's going to sign. I know I saw him associated with Dallas. I've heard Dallas there. But I don't know. And at this juncture, I'm not sure what kind of contract he gets, because he was a high draft pick and was supposed to be much better than he is. Now, the people think they can get something out of him, more power to him. But right now, I don't see him going anywhere. And as I said, the only team I've heard associated with him is Dallas. But what kind of contract he gets, I have no idea.
I don't watch the Falcons enough to know. Like, is he a difference maker? Is he that good? Is this a guy who's maybe overinflating his self-worth?
Yeah, I mean, he should have worked out there, because you look at Atlanta and go back to 2016. They were a Super Bowl team, and Dan Quinn was the toast of that town, and they had a young coming defense, and it just sort of all fallen apart. And I don't know if it's inside the locker room, what's on the field, coordinators, coaches, whatever, but what they had quickly turned around. They made the playoffs the next year, and then we know what's happened since then. They were not good last year. The head coach gets fired after 0-5 this year. They seem to have something going with Raheem Morris, and he's from the defensive side of the ball. So it may be that he just didn't get along with the coaches, but he didn't make an impact, and he was supposed to be an impact player. So you just wonder, could he be happy somewhere else? If so, what kind of scheme does he fit in? And I don't know the answers to those questions. As I said, I know right now nobody's rushing to sign him. I have, heard his name associated with Dallas, but Dallas needs help. And they just were dumping players last week. So I don't know where he's going to go, especially at this late juncture, but there's so many teams. I mean, I think quickly of Seattle. I mean, God, Seattle could use anyone. Seattle can't play defense. I don't know what's going on there. He took on Carlos Dunlap. Jamal Adams is back, but their defense leaks like a sieve. I mean, it's awful. So where he ends up, I honestly, I don't know.
Okay, Clark Judge joins us. Clark, we look, you know, here we are just at the halfway point of the season, just over for some teams who have played nine games. There's some interesting races. The Steelers are still undefeated. I don't know how good they are. Honestly, I'm not really sure. What do you make of the Steelers? Are they as good as their record?
Well, Bill Parcells said you are what your record says you are, so the answer is yes. They're good. They're unbeaten. They've slid by the last two or three opponents, and they were lucky to win last week, but that's okay. You know, some people say you'd rather be lucky than good. They're both. They're good and they're lucky. I don't think they're the best team in the AFC right now. If I had to pick a team out of the AFC, I'd say, again, it's Kansas City. I see Kansas City, and I look, and I think they've got a lot of their bases covered. Pittsburgh's better, I think, defensively than Kansas City is. They don't have Mahomes, but they've got a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. They've got a Super Bowl-winning head coach. So they've been there before, and they've got a lot of weapons, just like Kansas City. The thing that sort of tilts it a little in their favor is the defense, but they have given up points on occasion. I mean, look at last week when they were playing Dallas. They were supposed to circle the bases there. They didn't, and there were some holes in the defense that's supposed to be so good. It's better than Kansas City's. How much better? I don't know. I still go, I don't know. I mean, you know, with Mahomes out there and Kansas City having been to the Super Bowl last year, you got to lean in their direction. That's probably why I don't, because it's so rare for teams to repeat or go back to Super Bowls. It just doesn't happen unless Tom Brady's your quarterback. I know Seattle did it in 2013 and 14, but that was it. I mean, it's an aberration. It's New England or nobody. And so when Kansas City went last year, I said, okay, well, who's next in the AFC? Because I'm not taking them. The odds are they're not going to go back. Pittsburgh's one of those teams. You have to look at the AFC hierarchy. There are some good teams there. You got Pittsburgh. Baltimore's got to be in the mix. You still have to talk about them, even though Lamar Jackson hasn't won a playoff game. Tennessee got the championship game last year. They're there again. And then Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo is a team that, to me, got huge wins, statement wins the last 2 weeks, beating New England. I realize New England's not a good team this year, not great. Still, they're the team you have to overcome to get to the top of that division. They did it. They broke the hex. Okay, they broke it. Wasn't impressive, but in terms of final score, but they broke it. That is impressive. What they did at Seattle last week was really impressive. I mean, they figured out Russell Wilson. They won with a defense that's leaked. And, you know, the quarterback, I mean, Josh Allen played so well last week. Yo, if he can get back to that level,
yeah,
they can beat anybody. They can beat anybody.
Yeah, the Bills look legit. And what about Miami?
That's a dark horse team. Yeah, I mean, that's a dark horse team. Brian Flores is doing a great job there. They can play defense. That's a good defensive team. You look at what they did the last game of last year, and that got my attention. Everyone said, you know, they were tanking for Tua. Well, it turns out they weren't. They won five games. They go into New England. They have no reason to win. New England needs that game to get a first-round bye. They're at home. They've got Tom Brady. And they beat the Patriots. And that showed me something. And so Flores this year replaces Fitzpatrick at 3-3, and people are going, whoa, why is he doing that? I mean, he's still in the race. Well, I trust him because he knows what he's doing. And he also wants to get a look at the future. Well, the future is now the present. That's Tua Tagovailoa. And he played really well last week. Not so well the week before. He didn't need to. He threw for 93 yards. Who cares? They won. And then last week he did. He went toe-to-toe with Kyler Murray, and that was impressive. If that's what you got, then you're in good shape for a long period of time or as long as he stays healthy. I think that's a dark horse team. Yeah, they're not there yet. But let's see if that was an impressive win last week, especially in Arizona. Let's see what happens when they meet Buffalo. Let's see what happens when they meet, again, New England, just because of the sort of the platinum standard everyone measures themselves against. They don't have many of those players anymore, especially the quarterback. But let's just see how they do there. I think that's a team to watch. I'm not sold yet, but I'm getting there.
Clark Judge joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. And, Clark, one team, you know, the Cleveland Browns, they started the year. Everyone's like, oh, they'll be good. And then they were bad. And, you know what, now they're 5-3. What are the Browns in your eyes? Are they a playoff team, or are they just on the cusp of a playoff team? What do you make of them halfway through the year?
Well, it depends. If we go to a 16-team format, yeah, I'd say they're a playoff team. If we don't, we had those two others. Probably not. I mean, I think they're much better than they have been in a long time. And that's not saying much, because there was 1 year they didn't win any games, and next year they won one game. So they're better than they have been. And I think that that figures, because they've got a lot of first-round draft picks all over the place, and they're loaded with weapons too. And Myles Garrett is a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. But where their losses come, they got bombed by Baltimore. They got bombed by Pittsburgh. And so you look at that and say, all right, they're not going anywhere within their division. They've got to play those two teams again. And when they do, quarterback doesn't show up. Baker Mayfield's up, he's down, he's up, he's down, and he's down against them. So I don't look at them as a playoff team this year. I think they're a difficult out for people. I think Cincinnati's going to be a tough out. I think Cincinnati, to me, is every bit as much a difficult out as Cleveland at this point, because they're taking people to the finish line, and they're just not finishing because they don't have the players that Cleveland does. But to me, Cleveland's a year away. Cincinnati, you know, maybe a year away. They figured out the quarterback position, and Burrow's, to me, much more consistent than Mayfield. Question is, can they keep him in one piece? He gets killed back there. But I think Cleveland's a year away. I think they're a team that could go 9-7 this year. Could that get you in? Maybe. But I just don't see them there, because I can't figure out Baker Mayfield. He's up, he's down, he's all over the place. And because he's so erratic, I just think they're probably one season away.
Clark, as always, really appreciate your time. Thanks for this. We'll talk to you again soon.
You got it. Take care. Thanks.
You betcha. There's Clark Judge from the Talk of Fame Network.